I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Brodnick.
And I'm Victoria Montalbano.
And we love scams!
We love scams!
Hi, guys. We love scams. We love you. We love a dear close friend on the mic. Victoria, welcome to ScamWell. I'm so happy.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, my goodness. So, guys, Victoria was my college roommate and dear close friend and still amazing friend. Whenever we get to see each other, but we're in different parts of the country. We always have been.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I thought eventually, like, we would end up, like, one of us would be in the other city. But no, we've stayed for, like, the 15 years in our own places.
In our own places. I know.
But that's good. You're doing, because we were started, I stopped Victoria before we recorded because I want to hear all about her life. And I want to save it for the pod because you're doing such cool things.
All right.
Tell us all about it.
About all the cool things I do?
Yes, you're so cool.
Okay. So, well, I have a solo show.
Yes.
Called The Princess Strikes Back, One Woman's Search for the Space Cowboy of Her Dreams.
It's so great. In Chicago, right? You're in Chicago. So
I'm in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I live in Chicago. I'm attempting to tour the Ooh. Show. So it's about how my childhood crush on Han Solo has affected the rest of my dating life.
I love this.
It's very funny. There are fun stories.
Yes.
And very nerdy.
Oh, I love it.
And so, yeah, I'll be doing it at the Indianapolis Fringe Festival in a couple of weeks.
That's huge.
I don't know when this is dropping, but a couple of weeks from when we're recording. So
that's huge. Yes. And, yeah. I'll put the link in our notes and everything, because I want all of our, because we have listeners all over, so they would love to see it.
Oh, yeah. If you're in Indy. And if you're in the Chicagoland area, I'm like writing new stuff now and doing a lot of gigs. So I'll give you my website.
I love it, Victoria.
So,
and
yeah.
You're doing stuff with comedy, too. You're doing The Annoyance, right?
Yeah. Well, I'm doing a show at The Annoyance.
Okay.
So I'm, like, booked for one night. I don't want any like actual annoyance people to be like, I've never heard of her.
Oh my gosh. Isn't that always the way? Like you do something at one show and you're like, I don't want the herds of people that are so intense about it. No, I know.
No, I was an I.O. person when it came to Chicago comedy. They're closed now. They're like supposedly going to reopen.
Everything's closed now.
That was my home.
Uh-huh.
But even so, I hadn't been back in such a long time. So even like people who are currently at I.O. are going to be like, who is that person?
I feel that way. I think everyone feels that way with every aspect of their lives. Like if you went to a gym, you know, and you were like a regular there at the Zumba class and then suddenly COVID hit and you're like, I don't think I want to be sweating and breathing in other people's sweaty air.
No, I just saw some Pilates friends from a Pilates class for the first time since pre-pandemic the other day. Because I'm like, no, I'm not going. It's also really expensive and I can't afford it.
Of course. Also, if, when you describe something as like a Pilates friend, we're all like, oh, pre-pandemic. Like everyone knows, like if you say, I don't know if you would say like my Zoom book club, we all know it's a current group. But if you say anything of a social gathering before, we all know you haven't seen those people in a while. Oh my God, Victoria, you're so funny. You're so great. So guys, she's a comedian, a writer, a wonderful lady. We can also cut this too. Are you doing any school stuff right now? Because you were like co-teaching, right?
Yeah, I was teaching. I'm not teaching anymore. I am nannying randomly and part-time.
And getting whatever you want.
But yeah, no, I do have a podcast myself.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so that's the other thing I'm doing.
Share it, everything. Sure.
Okay. So it's called Now Kiss, a shipping podcast. Uh-huh. And my dear friend Kat and I are two thirsty nerds. And we just talk about all of the fictional characters kissing. Who kisses on the screen? Who we want to kiss?
Who are your top kissers that you want to kiss or to kiss?
So I'm going to give you one nerdy one.
Give me all of it.
I'm going to be honest.
Yeah.
It's really nerdy. We've tried to like,
I love it,
branch out. But so people,
Victoria, the amount of nerds are alive and thriving and we are here and we are nerdy. And I think growing up in the 90s, it was like, it was a bad word. And now it's just means now somebody who likes to Google things.
Yeah. So we just did one recently on Obi-Wan Kenobi and the Duchess Satine, which is like a very deep cut. Mm-hmm. In the Star Wars universe.
But I know I got listeners that know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. There, if you're a fan of the Clone Wars TV series, you know what's up. Okay. So, yeah.
So you want them to hook up?
Oh, yeah. I mean, canonically, they did hook up as teenagers, but like we haven't seen it on screen and it's very sad.
So let's get back to it.
Yeah.
Right? Let's get back to basics. Yeah. Okay, and then what's the another one?
Okay, so the other, like, sitcom one we did was Nick and Jess from New Girl.
Oh, okay.
Because they had a really good will they or won't they when they were...
Did they ever?
Yeah, they got together.
I never saw the show.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Well, I mean, we're 90s kids, so, like, and my co-host Kat is the same age as us, so we're like, well, we grew up with like Friends, but we don't want to talk about Ross and Rachel. It's like so done.
I'm so bored with them.
Yeah, and you know, I was obsessed with Friends in college.
You were.
Now I'm like, I can't watch it anymore. Like I've just seen it so many times.
That's good to know. But so you used to fall asleep to. You fell asleep to TV. You were one of the first people I knew that fell asleep to TV.
Yeah.
I still do it now. Yeah, I do it now, like, religiously.
I started as a teenager, and I would fall asleep to Nick at Night, because I had a TV in my room when I was a teenager, and leave Nick at Night on and fall asleep.
You're so cool. That's what you're doing.
I don't know that that's true.
That is cool. That is cool. Okay, but so, because of that 90s nostalgia, because of that goofiness, we are at the tail end of our summer, but we're not going to leave behind the summer of scam movies.
Mm-mm.
We love the summer of scam movies, and Victoria and I have been dying to connect and do this episode together for weeks.
For a while, we've been trying. Yeah. I know.
And we are doing the movie. Do you want to tell them?
Sure. We're doing the movie Blank Check from, I think it was 1994.
Yes. I'm going to grab my stuff. I have some notes and I have some references.
Yeah, I took some notes also.
I love it. Okay. Yeah, release date 1994.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was in fourth grade.
Yeah.
We were in fourth grade.
Yeah, I was in fourth grade. And I remember seeing this movie at a sleepover.
Oh.
My grade school best friend, Melissa. We would sleep over each other's houses like almost every weekend.
As you did.
And so most 90s movies I saw with her.
With her.
As like a blockbuster night.
Oh, that's so fun. I know, that really was. We'd go to Blockbuster. You'd get at checkout. I'd always want to get all the extra candy. I never could. Yeah, I remember walking around Blockbuster and just like seeing this one, and it looked like the kid was cool and smart. And I think some kids on my block really liked it. I only grew up with boys on my street that were very huge assholes.
So
they liked everything that was like an asshole based thing, and they were like, "Yeah, blank check." And so
there are so many assholes in this movie.
Oh my god! Yeah, and before we start, can we talk about the fact that every '90s movie they were so mean to children?
Yes. Okay.
They're horrible.
That dad, horrible. I was like, that dad right now would totally be like, you could totally buy a house. Just stop eating avocado toast. You'll be fine.
Right.
Like, pull yourself up by your bootstraps. He's such like a boomer dad.
Yes,
and he was like encouraging his kid. Like, the older brother and his friend had a business. We never find out what the business is.
No.
I don't know if it's like lawn mowing or whatever, but they have a business, and the dad lets them use like the desk in his room, in Preston's room, the main character, to run their business, and buys them this like fancy Macintosh computer.
And he who makes the money makes the rules. So he doesn't have a bedroom anymore because he's not making an income.
And it's like, and it's not like this kid, it's not like they shared a room. Like, they had their own rooms. And he's still like, he gets to have it because he runs his business. Like, forget about child labor laws, 12-year-olds. Like,
forget about it. Well, okay, yeah. So this movie starts with, the premise of this movie is a kid, and the reason we're doing it for a scam movie is because this kid gets a bunch of money fraudulently and then lives his best life. But it all starts with the fact that this parent and these parents are drilling home that you'll only be happy, successful, a real person that matters if you have a job. And they're all underage. They're like 15 and under. They're so young.
I mean, I remember I got a part-time job like almost as soon as I was allowed to. Mm-hmm. And I think you were allowed to have a job when you were 14, but it was like very limited hours. You could only work like 2 or 3 hours at a time.
Right.
And then when you were 16, it like bumped up a little bit.
Right.
But I remember, this kid is 12 years old.
And I remember I had, I was babysitting. So I was babysitting from like 10 years old on, but my first real job was at Quiznos, which was like an official job, you know, but I do remember this. And the kid says in the movie, like, I thought are we doing so badly? And apparently, like, the dad, it's really the dad's fault. He made all these investments that went poorly, right? Or the mom said, we have to start saving.
I don't know. They seem to have, like, a nice house.
Yeah.
They're like, dad seems to have a good job.
Middle America. I know. They're doing fine.
Indiana real estate. Like,
he's doing great. And also this kid. So the kid goes to, the beginning shows you how poor this kid, which the child is not poor, and it's just such a slap in the face to any family that's actually struggling,
right?
Specifically at that time. It's just a white family that's not opulently rich.
Right, but they have, like, a nice house.
They have cars. They have a beautiful house. It looks like the house from Father of the Bride. Like, it looks beautiful.
It probably is.
Yeah, it probably is. He's clothed. Oh, and the dad had a Volvo. Oh, no.
Yeah.
The bad guy had a Volvo. Somebody had something.
The dad totally had a Volvo.
Yeah, he was fine, and so then Preston goes to a birthday party. This is all in the beginning before, like, the plot turns. And it's a birthday party, and he only has $6 because it's his life savings to spend for tokens at the birthday party. And these kids that are his friends just keep being like, hey, you poor ass.
Yeah, oh, and it's not even his, because the brother and the brother's friend stole his, like, jar of money. And so dad just gave him $6. But, like, the brother stole his savings.
There's no justice from the jar in this house.
No.
This house is capitalism.
Yeah.
The dad is creating a capitalistic society because he's a psychopath. And he's having the poor, like, fight each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so the criminal in this movie. It, like, the cold open, I guess, like, yes, while the credits are rolling, is this criminal escaping from prison, mm-hmm, and finding this, like, stash of $1 million cash that he had stolen and stashed away.
And hidden before prison, right. But he also had, like, a flame torch. Like, he was in a... It was in a factory. It wasn't like it was hidden in, like, a backyard. It was in a factory, and he takes, yeah, like, a blowtorch to it. And I'm thinking, this guy just escaped jail. He's still in his outfit from jail, yeah, and he's not being quiet. He's, mm-hmm, quite loud. And so, like, metal case.
He's scamming, too, because he goes to the bank, and the bank president or bank, yes, manager or whatever is, like, helping him do white-collar crime.
Yes.
Because I guess I tried to figure it out. I don't understand white-collar crime. Like, if I could money launder, I would not know how to do it.
Yeah.
I would do it if I, yes, could.
Exactly. But this, it's usually like you come up with certain, with money laundering, it's like you come up with another company or a shell corporation and you transfer funds and this and that, or you wire things. This, yeah, was literally, he had the physical $1 million. He gave it to his friend at the bank. His friend said these are too traceable because however he, right, stole this money, the bills, the number sequences were in order. So he said, we have to change it out for bank bills.
Right.
So he exchanged it on the DL for his, like, real, his original bills for bank bills and then put it in the safe behind the bank guy's desk. Now, we don't know this at the time, but all the bank bills have, like, stamped FBI on them.
Yeah, because FBI is watching this bank also.
Yeah.
And they're like, so he has this checkbook. The bank manager gives him a checkbook and is like, bring this in tomorrow to cash the check so that it looks above board or whatever.
I don't know why. If I was the guy, I would have just sat there and said, okay, give me the $1 million.
Right? Like, why did they have to deal with the check?
Yeah, the guy who just got out of prison is in such a rush to who knows what. I don't know where he's going to. But he hands him the $1 million, asks him to trade the bills out. And then tomorrow, 24 hours later, at 1 p.m., he's going to come in with a check. And a guy named Juice, mm-hmm, is going to ask him for the money. And he's going to give him all the cash money to Juice. Not even to this guy. That is so crazy. You got out of jail. You swam across a lake. Yeah. It looked like Alcatraz. Like, you should not be letting some guy named Juice get your money.
No. And so, but then what happens, he backs into Preston's bike, like, as almost runs him over.
He almost murders Preston, right?
Yeah, and then gives him a check, but because he sees, like, police coming, and then Preston's bully is there, too.
That bully never stops.
No.
He works really
hard. And
is,
like, also bullying the criminal.
Yeah.
And it's like,
this little redhead bully
is like, I think you've been drinking vodka.
Yeah. He starts shouting out things to try and, like, get this criminal. It's just, like, the funniest thing. That was the thing, too, in the 90s, that kids decided they could ruin adults' lives by yelling false things. They'd be, yes, like, this guy's trying to kidnap me, or this person is drinking vodka, or he's already tried to touch me. Like, they say horrible things, and that, yeah, was, like, a prank, but it does ruin a human's life.
Yeah. And so, because he's trying to just slip away quickly, he doesn't, mm-hmm, fill in the amount.
Right.
And so
says,
the kid has a blank
check. Give
it to
your dad. Your dad will know what to do.
Right. Right. But Preston,
he doesn't give it to his dad,
knows how blank checks work.
Right.
Because there's the whole scene where, like, he got a check from his grandma.
This kid is such a piece of shit. He got, the whole family are assholes. Like, he gets a check from his grandmother. He doesn't say thank you or anything. He's just like, God damn it, there's no amount on it. And, like, is so mad. And they said, what do you wish for? He wished that he could have enough money to kill his brother and to off his brother and his brother's best friend. That's, like, all the jokes. The,
yeah,
jokes are so,
it's
insane,
all about, like,
it's so unpleasant.
Murder and DUIs.
Yeah. Okay. That's where we're starting. So, right, because Preston got a blank check from his grandmother, and his dad said, oh, you can just fill it in. What did grandma give you last year? Let's add $1 instead of $10. It was $11.
Yeah.
And that was sort of the beginning of understanding what a blank check was. Mm-hmm. And it was, like, it was good movie writing because it's like, oh, that's an interesting circumstance to happen. But then he takes his check, and on his computer. Also, Victoria, this is so funny. In the 90s, every single child was like a hacker.
Yeah.
Computers were just started, and yet everyone knew how to hack them.
He knew exactly. And they threw in, like, one line at the beginning where the dad's like, maybe you could show your brother how to use it, that, like, he was a real computer kid.
That was it. Yeah, that was the one that was it.
But he knew exactly how to, like, space out on... Yes. Whatever
printing.
Was before Microsoft Word. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I know. He had some doc where he was typing in to cash. He put in $1 million. And for somehow it was perfectly set to print out on a single check, which we still can't do today. Like, I still can't get my printer to do something that sophisticated.
Absolutely not. No, if I have to print a label, I waste so much label paper.
Oh,
I just write it on. Like,
the labels are gone. I know.
No. I just write it on if I need a label. There's no, like, nice printing.
It would have been easier to forge the signature than to write it in the thing. So, on his Apple Mac computer, which clearly Apple was like, this is where we want to be.
Yeah.
In the beginning of capitalism, not the beginning. And at first I thought Macintosh and Mac were different because this movie made me feel that way. But so he writes on the check and then he goes to the bank. It happens to be the next day, the same time that Juice was supposed to come for this whole heist and bill dropping. And this child goes to a lady at the checkout and says, can I cash this for $1 million? Now, he wants to go to his fancy lake. We didn't even talk about this. He's been flirting with an adult woman the whole time. The child has been trying to get in the pants of this adult woman.
There are full rom-com beats with an adult woman.
I really tried so hard, Victoria, to be like, no, she's just, like, humoring him. Like, she's just trying to be nice to get to the thing. But it is quite a lot of sexual innuendos.
Yes. And a lot of, like, real sexual tension.
Yes, and they kiss at the end.
And they kiss on the lips.
On the lips! And it's so disgusting. And
it's so gross.
She was directed, you can tell, to, like, give a real kiss. And his mouth is so pursed together. Like, it must have been his first kiss.
I was like, I was going to say that. I'm like, that poor actor. It was probably his first kiss.
Well, I went online, and this actor has not done anything since then. I really think Blank Check fucked up his life.
Yeah, well, he was, like, a child actor. Like, he was the kid from Family Ties. Like, he was, like, the new toddler they added to Family Ties, you know, at the end of an 80s sitcom when they're like, we need to renew this. Let's add another kid. He was that kid.
So,
like,
he's got
80s sitcom money, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
oh my
God, I felt so bad for him.
I felt bad. Like, I was, like, watching him in this with the bad guy, like, shaking him and the kid's, like, looking like he's going to cry. I'm like, he's not acting. This is actually a child who's terrified.
Oh, yeah. And I'm sure that actor was, like, actually shaking him.
Completely. Because in the 80s, too, I remember when, like, sketches and scenes, we were like, oh, no, you can really throw my body into that garage.
Oh, yeah. Early 2000s, I was like, just slap me. It's no big deal. Just, like, give me a real slap if there's a slap in the scene. Like, no biggie.
Yeah, let's go for honesty. It's so true. And if you think about what they were doing in the 70s, they were, like, we're literally, like, whipping people off of, like, bikes and, like, karate chopping.
Oh, yeah. Everyone.
It was real.
All of that. It was all real.
No,
and everyone was on cocaine. So, like...
Totally. Everyone was taking their meds. As many meds as I'm taking today. The same thing. Double it. So he is flirting with this... And I actually thought at the time she was, like, the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen.
She's beautiful.
Alan was like, really? I never had anything for her. But it was Karen Duffy. I was like, you are the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah.
As a child. I was like, if only.
Yeah. And she, I mean, I thought at first it was going to be like, well, because it's revealed at the end that she's an FBI agent.
Yes.
And so she's working undercover.
Watching.
And since he clearly is the key to finding this money, that she has to, like, talk to him. But no one ever said, like, did this guy hire a 12-year-old?
Right.
Preston passes off everything, like, gets away with spending all this money and buying all this stuff and installing all this stuff and buying a house because he says he's working for Mr. Macintosh.
A completely made-up person that Preston is impersonating, which is the pinnacle of catfishing. He's really starting the trend of catfishing.
Oh, yeah.
And it was during our childhood, which is why I think there's so many successful catfishers, because we all watched Blank Check.
So not once, which she keeps saying, like, will Mr. Macintosh be there? I need to see Mr. Macintosh. But she never once was like, this seems fishy that Mr. McIntosh hired a 12-year-old to handle...
It's not legal.
...his finances. It is mm-hmm. not legal. Like, she could have just shut it down then.
Mm-hmm. She needed to. Right. But no, she goes with it, and then she goes... So, we're rushing ahead. So, anyway, she's... That is a sketch relationship. Think of that. So, Preston doesn't get to talk to his sexy lady at the bank. He has to talk to this... older woman who I'm sure was only like in her 40s, but they made her look so old.
Oh, I know. In the 80s and 90s, people looked so much older.
So old. You could not be over 35. You were dumb. No.
They were like, no. We will give you all of the like giant blouses
all
and
the
pleated
blouses.
Pants.
Dye your hair white.
Yes.
And make like, you walk with a limp.
Lacy collars for like
guy,
grandma.
Who's the guy? The guy who plays the bad guy, Mr. Bitterman, Michael Lerner, looks the exact same as he looks today. Like,
yeah.
They made he has been playing an old crotchety guy for years.
For years.
So, Bitterman is the one that's supposed to hand the check or cash the check to Juice. That was the crime scenario. Mm-hmm. So, the child comes in and he says, and Bitterman says to him, "Do you like juice?" And he's like, "I guess I drink juice." And Bitterman is just cracking up, like, what a brilliant idea. Have a child as yeah. your, you know, as your cover. Have some kid come in with a backpack to take the money. No one would suspect that the crime is being carried out by another member of the team, and the member of the team is a child.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what's supposed to happen. It's supposed to be Tone Locke
who yeah. comes
in. But so Bitterman gives little tiny Preston all this money because he wrote on the check. And Preston is like, "Oh my God, I'm rich," and has a sequence of like, life is finally great.
Yes. He buys a house. First of all.
Oh, right.
He
away.
Buys a castle.
A castle that's just in the middle of Chicago.
It's in Indiana.
Indiana.
I paid attention because I drive through Indiana quite a bit.
Yeah.
And there are no castles in Indiana. Indiana has like a few mid-sized cities and then farms. And that's
okay.
it. There are, like, no suburbs.
This castle was right in the middle of a suburb of Indiana.
But there's a suburb, and there's a castle
mm-hmm.
in the suburb that he pays $300,000 cash for.
Yes.
And that, they, like, made it seem like that was a really high amount. Like, yes. The bad guy was going to buy it for $180,000. And I was like, I know Indiana real estate is really cheap, but honestly, it made me so sad for the 90s housing market.
I know.
If a castle was $300,000, even in Indiana, like, maybe I would have a hope of home ownership one day.
Never.
No. But never.
We know. We never will. That's been made clear. We're just going to be renters forever.
Yep.
Yeah. Also, like, the adding it up in the story, the twist at the end is that, of course, like, it doesn't work out. But, and spoiler alert, he runs out of money. But the amount of money spent, and so he starts with $1 million. He goes down to, now he has $700,000.
Mm-hmm.
But he spends it like he has a gajillion dollars.
Yeah. like he installs a water slide from yes. like the house into the pool.
It's amazing.
Go-karts, giant TVs.
Professional limo driver.
Yes. Okay, that limo driver.
The best part.
I loved that actor so much. And you just know... That actor would walk into an audition room and see John Candy sitting there and be like, "Oh, fuck.
You're right.
Losing out on this one.
I'm going off it." Oh, completely. Oh, he was so sweet. He was so nice. He was so Canadian. All of his scenes, you know, were ad-libbed. Like, you know, he told all those jokes.
He was fully
writing,
improvising. He was fully just like doing his stand-up for
yes,
sure.
That's what Alan said. He's like, "I have a little stand-up about a ice cream truck." And he's like, "Let me do it."
He's like, "Let me just do it. Let me throw it in. You're gonna want it in the edit.
You're gonna want it." It's so true, Victoria. And the guy was such a good actor. What makes me laugh so hard is that he says, like, he's the one who teaches Preston, like, you need to know who your real friends are, like, who can you really trust, and when the money goes, if the friends go, then they're not friends afterwards. Well, at the end of the movie, he goes away.
Yeah.
He brings the kid ice cream and then drives off in his limo because Preston can't pay him anymore. So he's actually not his friend.
I know. And also, this kid has no friends his own age.
Yeah, he is a sociopath.
Like, why? I mean, they have a bully and they kind of set up. He's like a little bit of a nerd, but he's not like the way nerds were in the 90s.
Not a typical 90s nerd where he's constantly falling over himself. And
no,
like,
he seems like a kid. Like, he should have one best friend.
One single person.
Yeah.
Well, his parents don't even like him, so I guess that creates a concept.
Yeah.
You know, when your parents hate you.
Yeah, and he runs through his money so fast, but mm-hmm. this kid is so on top of the finances. I do not buy that he would not be balancing that checkbook every single night.
You're right. I mean, I guess we could chalk it up to, like, you know, childhoodness and, like, getting carried away. But that's sure. making the writers make us do something. But, yeah, no, you're right. He has multiple TVs to create the size of an enormous wall of TVs. And mm-hmm. looking back now, they're, like, the clunkiest, oldest TVs that he's yeah. like, I got them all.
But in 94, that was,
it was,
like,
a big deal.
Yeah.
Such a big deal. And so he has, on those TVs, he can pull up a screen of his, like, accounting. And he has this accounting, like, blown up on a big screen, and he's putting in all of his numbers. And he
yeah,
puts in, like,
it's basically, like, current technology. Yeah. The way you can, like, cast your computer to a device or a yes. phone to a device or whatever and see everything.
He's got Excel, and he's, like, looking yeah. up, and then at the end, he's like, I only have $300. Because
he's doing his spreadsheets.
So much money. He spent so much money. There's, of course, a montage, a dressing up montage, let me see, what were some of the other montages? A buying technology montage, a toy montage.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have a montage with music. And the actor looks so uncomfortable. Even in his montage, it's like everybody else is having fun, but they buy sumo wrestling outfits. Mm-hmm. They buy a batting cage. They buy virtual reality. It's the go-kart was like
go-kart.
The big deal. He bought a go-kart for his own backyard and his own go-kart track, and he can run around and terrorize people in his go-kart by himself.
Yeah, because he has no friends to play. Like, that's not fun.
No.
You need to go-kart with a friend. Also, he wears a helmet to ride his go-kart, but uh-huh. not to ride his bike in the street.
What a dumbass.
I know. Well, and I know, like, it was the 90s. We didn't wear helmets.
We didn't, no.
On bikes. But, like, he did put it on for a go-kart in his backyard on, like, a structured track.
Right.
Yeah.
In a cage. No, exactly. And then, so the driver, because his name is Nick Dukumanin?
Yeah, I looked him up. I'm not going to try and pronounce
it. Dukumanin. Yeah. Dukumanin. I don't know. He was amazing, but also he was on the clock. He was being paid to have fun with this child. And I think the hint was that he kind of knew that there was no real Macintosh and that the kid just needed a friend and was lonely. But everyone around, he just kept saying it was for Mr. Macintosh. And the buzz of the town was that Mr. Macintosh is good for this money. But it never was clear. Did the kid take out credit cards? Did he say Macintosh will pay you back? Just put it on a thing. Like it
no, he just paid cash. Straight up cash.
$700,000 does not give you all of the things he had.
No. But he paid straight up cash for everything. And that's what the party planner or like PR person, whoever she was, when he was
Debbie
like planning.
Allen, who was so scary. She was such a she was so good at scaring, being like a scary thing for kids. It's like a no-nonsense adult woman who was like angry at you. It was so well done.
Yeah. And she looked amazing.
Amazing.
Her party dress was
black and white stripes, right?
Oh my god, yes, black and white stripes, and then like fit and flare, but like full flare.
Full flare, the 80s flare of like the taffeta under, or like crinoline.
I loved it. I want it now.
Of course,
I want it now. But
that's
yeah,
how I should look.
She's like, oh, I need a deposit, and so she took $10,000 cash out of his backpack and is like, here's the deposit. So if he has this, I guess he's good for the rest.
I guess, yes. And so she did such a good job with her character because she was like, how am I going to reason that this dumbass kid is in control and why am I going to listen to him? And so she was saying like, okay, well, if you're Mr. Macintosh can talk to me. And she was being she was just being so good in it. And also very scary to children. It was really good. Oh, and then, so while all this is happening, the bad guy comes back. The bad guy named Miguel Ferrer, who's been in everything.
He's in everything.
He's like the number one bad guy. He comes back and asks Bitterman, where's my money? Mm-hmm. Bitterman's like, oh, I gave it to the child who's now spending it all. And Miguel Ferrer now has to go find this child who has the money, which he shouldn't. And they say at the end, it would have been easier to just like steal another $1 million.
Yeah.
Because trying to find a child in wherever they are in Indiana is incredibly weird and creepy and hard. And, Tone Locke also was there, who's supposed to be, who's his buddy, and he's just got the most amazing voice. I just love listening to him. So good. No movie's complete without him.
Yeah.
And so then they try to find the child, and then it becomes they're chasing the child, and it turns into Home Alone.
Yes. They fully, I said that exact same thing in my brain. It's like, really? Oh, it's 94. When was Home Alone? Was 90, right?
I don't know. Home Alone 2
was a big thing.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, we have a kid in a movie with bad guys that are criminals. We must Home Alone it.
In a house, in a huge house. Yes, they're doing all of the toys he now bought. He's used to, like, really injure these adult men.
Right, but it's such a weird beat. Because in Home Alone, it's, like, all leading up to that. In this movie, it's just, like, a tiny part.
We're just going to choose violence right now, you know? Because also, it's very clear that these men want to murder and then kill this kid. Like, if there's no, like, you know, let's get in there, and it's sort of mysterious, like, can we work with him or anything? It's like, these guys are going to murder me, and that's just on the table.
Yeah, and he was going to say, like, I think they went to murder because the kid had so successfully taken on a new identity.
Yes.
And that's what Miguel Ferrar needed to do, was like, take the money, take on a new identity.
He was dying to do that.
I can just take over what this kid has done.
Right.
You know, return this stuff. It's only been 6 days. Return it or sell it or whatever. Right. Make some of that money back.
He actually knows how buying and selling works. This child does not.
Yeah. Like, Liv is Mr. McIntosh. The only problem with that is this kid knows. He's the only one who knows.
Right, so we gotta off him.
So we gotta murder him.
And then through all this, the sexy lady Karen Duffy at the bank, who is called Shay, and also Alan told me, he stopped the movie, he's like, Caitlin, this is the exact plot of Dumb and Dumber. Did you realize that?
I didn't realize that.
She also plays, like, a mobster lady with $1 million cash that was given to, like, one of the Dumb and Dumber guys.
Uh-huh.
They spend it all, and she has to get it back through a series of stuff. And her name is also Shay in Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, my God.
Yes!
I don't think I've seen Dumb and Dumber since the 90s, so.
It is one of Alan's most favorite movies, and he's watching, and he's like, wait, her? He's like, she played the monster's person, and there was a case of $1 million that was missing as well, and they had to find it. And so funny. Yeah. She's doing, and it was also, they both came out in the same year. So she just, like, really doubled down.
Yeah.
On this.
She was like, I'm going to play sexy FBI agent, sexy monster.
I will seduce whomever you want me to,
even if he's a child.
Child, Jim Carrey, whatever we need. Yes.
Yeah.
So she's doing that. Through all of this hijinks, she just keeps going up to the child being like, can I just talk to your boss? Which is insane.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit 1 million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Yeah, and then in the middle, I know we're like totally out of order.
I love it. It's fine.
I know that we touched on this already, but I just have to bring it up again. They went on a full-on date.
Oh, right. She takes the child out on a date to try and get information on Mr. McIntosh.
He takes her out on a date. And she goes along with it to try and get information, but it's absolutely a rom-com beat.
Totally sexual tension.
Yes, of like, oh, I'm going out with this guy for, like, some other purpose.
Well, he's in a rom-com. The actor, the child actor, just looks like, the whole time, he's like, where am I? What's my line? Like, he looks so underprepared for everything that's happening in this movie that it's just kind of, like, thrown on him. And he's like, okay, I guess I'm here. Like, it feels incredibly awkward, and the child is incredibly awkward. The whole thing is bizarre. It's not like he's playing into it, and you see that she, as an adult woman, is like, playing house with him and saying, like, okay, fine, I'll pretend to be your girlfriend.
Play along. No, she's really
She's going for it, and the child looks uncomfortable, and it makes it so much worse.
No, and then they, like, they do that, they run through the fountain.
Oh, yeah. They try to escape the bad guys, because the bad guys find them. They run through a fountain. Water zhuzhes up her skirt. They're laughing and running around, and it's bizarre. It is did not age well.
No.
Okay, now where are we, Victoria? Where are we in this plot, this crazy-ass movie?
I have no idea. I think we're at the party. We've jumped around a bit.
Okay, he tells everyone, everybody wants to see Mr. McIntosh. So this child, even his parents are now like, I want to talk to Mr. McIntosh for investment ideas. Mm-hmm. So Preston, the child, says, okay, fine. We're going to have a birthday party. It's his birthday party this weekend. It's actually Preston's birthday party, but it was the only lie he could come up with.
Yeah.
And so that's when the party planner, Debbie Allen, comes in. That's when everybody is really getting their energy in to be around Mr. McIntosh.
Mm-hmm.
And the party goes off. Mr. McIntosh has not revealed himself yet. There's a caterer there. And Preston wants, like, pizza and fries, and they have, like, all this fancy stuff. And the driver is understanding that he's upset, so he goes to get the poor kid some ice cream. He shows up with ice cream later in a big trash can filled with ice cream, which is, like, honestly a dream.
Yeah.
Honestly, I would love to dive into that. But he and it becomes chaotic, so then everyone arrives at the party.
Yes. And that's the big moment. The bad guys are showing up there. Preston is there, and he's, like, starting to have his catharsis of, like, you know, I don't like
it's this. Not going well.
It's not going well. Like, having money hasn't brought me everything that I wanted.
No.
But
even though that's what genuinely he's been raised to believe. Like, it is not his fault. He was in the cult of his father's greed.
Yes.
And he's just believed that this makes you happy. So he's looking around like, this poor child has to discover this because he's had no adult tell him it could be different.
Yeah, that's all that's been instilled in him.
Yes, over and over again. Right. So then everybody, the pressure is on. Then the bad guys come in and they start to chase Brandon around asking for Mr. McIntosh. And we got more hijinks and it's totally scary.
And then the Shay, the hot FBI lady, comes in. It's like Deus Ex hot FBI lady.
Yes, she comes in.
Because realizes that, like, what's going on, and this is the guy. Mm-hmm. And she's finally like, who's Mr. McIntosh? And Miguel Ferrer was, like, ready to take on that
identity
persona. And is like, I am. That's going to be my new identity. And she's like, great, you're all under arrest. And that's the end.
We don't know what happens. We don't know if he'll get the charges dropped. We don't know if later he'll get out of jail and try and kill Preston. We don't know. But she got what she wanted. Preston goes home with his family.
Well, the driver, after they kiss.
Yeah. Oh, she kisses him. Oh, he says, I'll wait for you in 10 years.
Like, and she brought it up. She's like, contact me in 10 years. And he's like, 5.
6. Yeah.
And, then they land on 6, which is still creepy. It's
so creepy. What, he's 12, so that's like, what, he's like 7.
He'll be 18.
18.
So, like, technically legal.
Ew.
But gross.
Ew. And gross. So she's like, I can't wait to bone you when you're legal. I'm just going to be preserving myself in this FBI van around your house as I drive. It was so creepy.
Insane.
Also, he was so uncomfortable. It's like, why would you ever want to be around that? In 10, 15 years, it's just going to get worse. His anxiety is just going to get worse, lady. Let me tell you.
Totally.
So then they leave. The bad guy gets captured, quote unquote, but nothing is resolved really with that. The brothers are just still assholes. Mm-hmm. And the kid goes home with his dad.
Yeah. And like blows out his birthday candles.
Yeah.
That's how it ends.
And that's it. And it's like boring, but he still has no friends.
No friends of his own.
He still didn't have a real birthday party. We don't know anything that's happening. He probably has diabetes because he ate a whole trash can of ice cream.
Yeah. I mean, I think when you're a kid, you can get through that pretty quickly.
Yes.
But
possibly.
It's only if you, like, continue eating trash cans of ice cream that you get diabetes.
My sequel is that he finds his love in the trash can now, because that's the only thing that reminded him of the cab driver. And the cab driver is not his friend anymore. He's like, I'm off the clock. I can't get paid. I'll see you later, buddy.
Totally.
It is insane. And also the amount of work that goes on in this, it's assuming that the minimum wage is $3 an hour.
Yeah.
Like, the amount of time he has spent with this child plus overtime is 2 cents is the minimum wage.
I hope he's getting time and a half for overtime.
He's definitely not, because Preston doesn't want to do that yet. but then Preston can go back to his house and be a hacker. Like, I don't understand. Oh, shoot. Preston does tell his family he's going out on a date and he won't be up early because of this woman. And the dad says, lucky. And the wife is right there. So the dad is jealous that his 12-year-old is getting, like, molested by this older woman.
And also, like, what dad doesn't ask their 12-year-old, like, who are you going on a date with?
Yeah. Like, what's her name?
What's her name?
Do you
Can
have
we meet her?
ID attached. Yes.
You're 12.
Nothing. I know. Oh, that is so insane. So, the movie was supposed to show how you can fraudulent, like, you can stolen identities, you can take money that's not yours, spend it, trackable money, traceable money, all this. It's very, like, ripe for crime, but it's just done in such a ridiculous way.
Yeah. Because it's meant for kids. There's all these,
The best part was the go-karts. I just thought that, like, everything else was so stupid. And I hated how they treated this child. Like, I just hated, I couldn't get over how badly they treated him. But he did suck. So, you know, I don't know.
It was just like, I mean, he sucked because of the way he was treated by his family.
Right. And the programming.
Mm-hmm. You know?
You're right.
Yeah.
He sucked. It wasn't his fault. He was so sucky. Oh, my gosh. Well, did you like the movie? Did you enjoy it? Or did you hate it? What did you think?
It was tough to get through, I gotta say. I was kind of looking forward to watching it again just for nostalgia.
Same.
But it was pretty tough. And it's not long, but I did have to do it in 2 parts.
Yeah.
Like, I started
didn't enjoy it
in the evening, and then I finished it yesterday morning. And, like, it was tough to get through.
I know. I don't recommend you watch it. It's so funny because it is also like, it doesn't age well. Well, it definitely shows like what we thought was funny and or what society like approved as scams or approved as like rich and poor. And just like the 90s were so ridiculous that like, ugh. I did not enjoy it. And I love scams, but I did not enjoy it.
No, it was, I had to have a second screen. Like I had to be scrolling Instagram. Oh, I had to be, you know what I mean?
I was looking at Love Island spoilers because I'm like obsessed with Love Island right now.
No, I was probably doing that and playing a dumb game or something.
We don't recommend the movie, but it was so fun to talk about the scam. And Victoria, if you were a 9-year-old, 9 to 12, and you got $1 million, and you were just able to have $1 million, what do you think you would have done with it?
Oh my gosh. I would have, oh boy, that's a good question. I can't even think of it. I was such like a theater nerd.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
I probably would have just like bought a bunch of musical theater CDs.
That's amazing.
And then that'll cover like $20.
Yeah, I know. 15.
Yeah, no, I don't, and I can't imagine being that age and not having my parents involved in my finances. Like, yeah. I wouldn't have known what to do with it, and my parents would have been like...
Oh, my parents would have said no to everything that I would have wanted, because I would have wanted to build a trapeze circus in the back of my yard so I could practice being a trapeze woman who rides horses and flips on a bar.
Yeah, my tastes were not that... expensive as a child, you know, like yeah. I probably would have wanted like a video game or something. I was never mm-hmm. allowed to have video games. Mm-mm. So
we never played them.
Yeah, so I maybe would have wanted like a Nintendo, but yeah, mostly I can't imagine not my mom not being like, well, this is getting saved for college. Yeah. And yeah. The end, you'll never yeah. see it again.
Yeah, and goodbye. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, my parents were so nice. They would let me have gifts and then I would just blow through them. And mm-hmm. it was like, I learned so many lessons. I guess I didn't. I'm still terrible with money, but I'm so bad with money.
Oh, me too.
But yeah, I really, at that time in my life, I wanted to be a trapeze artist in the circus. And I thought the circus was a great thing.
Yeah.
The circus was a wonderful place.
I probably would have wanted to, like, do stuff. Because I remember a lot of times being like, I want to go do this. And my parents being like, we can't afford it.
Right.
We were also, like, not poor.
Right, but also, that's also just what you say to your kids sometimes, just to say no. Like, Lewis said, Mom, can I have a toy every day after school today? And I was like we don't have the money for that. We have some money for that, but I don't want to spend it on toys every day.
No, especially, right. He's just going to, like, break them in 2 seconds. And
yeah, no, he's, like, really, I think the COVID kids are, like, really into things.
Yes.
They're really,
because
like,
the things are their best friends.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, I had the 2-year-old I was nannying for, like, 2020 COVID, like
yes.
the heart yes. pre-vaccine COVID
yeah.
was like, would pick up a rock every time we'd like go for a walk, and she'd pick up a rock every single day, and she'd like freak out if we didn't stop to pick up a rock.
Of course.
And then it was like, oh, this rock is my new best friend.
Right. And she has a pattern, and she endows yeah. it with all of her jewelry.
And her mom would like come upstairs from her office from where she was working at home and be like, I'm so sorry, you have rock friends now. Like, there's just they're her best
friends.
That's
what we do.
There's yep. nothing I can do about it.
We live with rocks. Yeah. Completely, completely. I was trying to explain to Lewis, like, we try, because we don't have the space for toys, so we're trying to donate toys, we're trying to mm-hmm. give toys away, and I keep saying, like, you know, these are, like, for little babies, like, it's a, like, cement mixer that has, just looks for, like, a tiny baby. And he's like, but Mom, I'm still little. Like, he, like, doesn't want to, like, abandon his stupid cement mixer. I'm like, you don't even play with this.
Yeah.
You don't even care. And he's like, Mom, I'm still young. And I'm like, of course you are. You're very young, but I don't have the space for your young things. We need to yeah. like, move on to 4-year-old things.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
so crazy.
And it's so funny because it's a kid will be like, never play with something. And the moment it's in your hand, they need it.
100%. Also, I am, like, secretly going through and thinking, like, oh, we could give this way, he never plays with this. And then I'll turn around, and to my surprise, he pulls it out and is like, remember this dollhouse that was, like, in the trash and we refurbished? I was ready to give that one away. And I didn't even tell him, but he can just sense it. He can
yeah.
sense it.
No, you got to get rid of stuff after bedtime.
Yeah. No, we've done that. Now, we did that. And he's very, very smart. And so I did that with a, this was so bizarre. I never thought he'd remember. For his birthday party during COVID, it was such a obviously terrible time. I bought like a backdrop of Winnie the Pooh and we hung it up on the wall so that when he woke up on his birthday, it was like we were in Winnie the Pooh land. And I so wanted cute. To try and create, yes. yeah, like an, a place for him to quote go, even though it was inside yeah. our house. And then in, that was early birthday. And then the year goes by, it's a backdrop is in my house. I toss it because I'm like, he's not going to remember. Like 2 days before his birthday, he goes like, Mom, are you going to surprise me with, are we going to have Winnie the Pooh again? And I was like, are we? So then I go onto Amazon, I have to buy it. I bring it back. I get the whole thing. Like it, again, it was only like $12, but still at the same time, I'm like, oh my gosh, he remembered yeah. from a year when he was like two turning three that a Winnie the Pooh backdrop. Like it's so crazy, his memory. So I,
yeah. Well, and I think COVID kids remember that more because that's yeah. all they have. Like, their brains aren't filled those with, are like, daycare.
I know. Well, he's now, it's so funny. Like, he now asks me, like, you know, like, how come we don't live in Maryland with Grandma and Grandpa, basically, Gammy and Poppy? And I'm like, well, you know, we live here. Our jobs are here, kind of, when we get them.
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, I think I'd rather live there. We were like, well, of course, yeah. you know, yeah. I think if we gave him $1 million, he would want to own a farm. He would believe, like, he's like, I need a farm. I need yeah. farm animals. He loves them.
Yeah, I think, now that I'm thinking about it, I think I would have just, like, gone to amusement parks. Like, I grew up in Florida, yeah. so I'd be like, we're going yeah. to Busch Gardens every weekend. We're going to Disney World every weekend. Like, I already got to do that more than the average kid,
right.
just
right.
because it's not as expensive when it's only, like, a two-hour drive.
Right.
But, like, we never stayed in, like, the fancy Disney hotels.
Right, hotel,
we would stay
right.
at, like, a Rodeway Inn, like, or, like, a Marriott, you know?
I know.
So we didn't get, like, the fancy, like, monorail into the parks and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, but that's good. That's why you're funny.
That's
I really
what
believe
I
that that's why you're funny. That's why
I
we're
think I'm funny
because
I was bad at gym. That's I think, the root of my comedy. It's like being bad at gym.
Oh, my God. Gym, what a stupid thing. They found out I had scoliosis in gym, and I was like, no, I don't. Like, I was, like, such a bitch. I was like, my back's perfect. And she's like, no, it's crooked. And I was like, my dad's a physical therapist. I would know, lady. I was so offended. And yeah. then we came home, and they're like, you do have scoliosis.
You do have scoliosis. I did. I think I figured out how to be, like, self-deprecating in gym
yeah.
class because I would make,
to get
it was, like,
things.
Such a horrible experience and, like, being in middle school and having tits. Before everyone
else
had
having
tits.
To shave your legs suddenly.
And, like, ugh. And so having to change and all, it's such a horrible thing.
God.
And I was so not athletic
that, yeah.
but the coaches really liked me because I could, like, joke around and
that's big.
Make fun of myself. And, like, so that's how I got through gym class.
Oh, that's so funny. So you had, like, a little stand-up set every day for gym.
Yeah, I'd be like, my friend and I, who was also super not athletic, would
uh-huh.
team up for, like, tennis. We played tennis one
yeah.
unit or whatever, and we
yeah.
were so bad. We, like, teamed up for doubles, and we just were, like, last place. They, like, set up a little tournament. We were always, like, the last in the rotation.
Yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
never moved up. And so I would just be joking around, like, I guess we're undefeated for, like, being terrible.
That's so cute. I'm sure they were just like, you know what? None of this really matters, kids. Like, that's the thing, too, is, like, when you're I think you have to, as a teacher, like, engage everyone. But then also your adult mind clicks in. You're like, yeah, who cares if you're not good at tennis? No, that's never going to affect your life.
Yeah. And now yeah. I've been a teacher. So
yeah.
I get, like, if I were teaching gym, which although I have subbed gym on occasion. But
for you.
If I were teaching gym, I would, like, enjoy that kid who was like,
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be like, come sit by me. Let's make fun of all the other idiots.
Yeah.
Like, you're the teacher.
Yeah.
You can't sit down. I love it. I love it so much.
Oh my gosh.
Oh,
speaking
my God.
Of 90s nostalgia.
Yes. Oh my God. Victoria, you are so amazing. This was so fun and funny and such a stupid movie. And I really appreciate you doing this with us and coming on to talk about it and spending so much time.
Yeah, I'm so glad to have met you and also have met you.
Oh, I know. I've seen you.
I've seen you this morning. Anyway, so, but blank check.
Blank
Don't
check.
Watch it.
Don't watch it. Not a watch.
No.
Don't watch it. It doesn't hold up. If you want to, the only scene, I would actually say watch the trailer. I think the trailer makes it look so much more fun.
Oh, yeah. I didn't
yeah.
watch the trailer.
That's it. That's all you need to watch.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Oh, and yeah, if we have any fans of Blank Check or if anybody had a Blank Check experience in their life, let us know. I love it. I'm getting people emailing me and sending their scams. So I'm so excited. We're going to do an episode soon where I just read off everyone's amazing scams.
Nice. So yeah, let me know.
Oh yeah, I was going to say, where can people find you?
All right. So you can find me at NotVicky4 on Twitter and Instagram. Mm-hmm. And I also have a website still, victorianotvicky.com. So whenever you're listening to this, visit my website. That's where you can find links to how to watch my solo show right now. If you're in the Indianapolis area, you can see it live August 19th through, 28th. But Amazing. Look on my website. And then that's all I have booked right now, but keep an eye out because I occasionally will make it available for streaming. So for pay what
you can.
I love
it. Oh, good. So, yeah. I want to see that. Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thanks. Thank you guys. Thank you, Kate and Jesse and everybody for listening. And if you have a scam call, you can call us because you know I love a phone call. 347-509-9414. And you can connect with us at scamwellpodcast on gmail.com, Twitter, Instagram, we're around, and we love you. Thank you, guys.
Oh, yeah. Oh, listen to my podcast, too.
Yes. Sorry. Oh, do her podcast.
Listen to my podcast, Now Kiss, a shipping podcast. We're brand new, and we're indies, so you have to search for it, but we're pretty
funny.
But
you won't be disappointed. Yeah. It's worth a search.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Scamwell Podcast Season 2 is produced and edited by me, Caitlin Brodnick, produced and edited by Caitlin Moldenhauer, and edited by Jesse Caron. We are part of the More Banana Podcast Network, which is an all-female owned and run network for women's voices uninterrupted. If you love us, the best thing you can do is rate and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It will help us tremendously. Thank you guys so much for listening, all of your support. We're so happy to have you here, and we will see you next week. Bye!
Hello, dear stranger. I'd like to introduce you to something new, or perhaps something very, very old. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine is a horror fantasy medical mystery following the titular monk turned traveling medical investigator. Follow Radolf as he navigates a nightmare world in which viruses are gods and the human race are not their favored children. Steeped in history and an aesthetic that can only be described as a combination of occult academia and laboratory Judaica, the Heresies of Radolf Burntwine have been described as Umberto Eco meets H.P. Lovecraft. For more information, check out the Patreon at thorb.info. But take care, dear stranger, for some truths are best left unknown.